Every minute of every day, two children are being prepared for sexual exploitation. The average age of these children is 14, but many are as young as 3. Child sexual exploitation is a $14 to $16 billion a year business. The top 3 countries involved in these horrific acts are India, Brazil, and sadly, the United States. I recently heard of a case where two 16-year-old girls were rescued after being in captivity since they were both 14 and had been raped multiple times a day until they were rescued just last month. As if this wasn't horrific enough, there was a third girl that was not so fortunate. She was taken by her captors, transported to an Eastern European country where her organs were harvested for resale to the highest bidder on the black market. This occurs on a regular basis and is simply cold-blooded, premeditated murder and needs to be stopped. Crime Stoppers Global Solutions has developed state-of-the-art app technology where citizens can report crimes anywhere in the world anonymously without fear of retribution for criminals. Once an anonymous citizen has submitted a tip utilizing the secure app, that information will immediately be sent to trusted law enforcement detectives for investigation. This simple process gives a voice to citizens, allows them to submit valuable criminal information, and enables all of us to do our part to stop child sex trafficking. Together, we can help stop these types of violent crimes against innocent children. Together, we can make a difference. Remember, every minute of every day, two children are being prepared for sexual exploitation. You know what you would do if this was your child. Please, please help us to do the same for those children who have no voice. For more information, go to www.thecsgs.org. Once again, www.thecsgs.org. I'm Jim Fuda, founder and vice chairman of Crime Stoppers Global Solutions. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this morning. We have Jim Fuda on the phone calling in from Washington.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Actually, well, we're a little smoked in, but other than that, good.
Yeah, our sun this morning, looking out, it's a full, you know, it's beautiful, but it's orange. And we were all talking about how creepy it looks. And I think it's because of all the smoke. Could be wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, that was a pretty serious intro to this show because we're going to be talking about a very serious topic. But before we get into what people can do, tell us about the formation of Crime Stoppers Global Solutions.
Well, here's how it started. I did a 33-year career with the King County Sheriff's Office, retired in 2006, and immediately went to work for the feds. And I was overseas teaching in Pakistan, Indonesia, but I actually lived in Banja Luka, Bosnia for 18 months and learned about the Balkan route where anything from humans to drug trafficking to illicit trade to arms dealing goes through from South Asia through the Middle East, through Turkey into Greece, and everyone's getting paid off on the way as people head to Western Europe, with some of the corrupt border stops. So when I got back from that assignment, I took over as the director of law enforcement services for our local Crime Stoppers program. And in November of 2016, we started using a tip app called P3 Tips. Now, we always had the 1-800-222-TIPS line, but we are now in the gaming generation. I always joke I can't get my granddaughter to talk to me on the telephone, but she texts me back in 30 seconds. So with that said, is that our tips immediately quadrupled and our arrests more than doubled. So I got to thinking, having worked overseas, is what transnational crimes are there out that have no borders and that are corruption-based that we can kind of sidestep and make sure we have trusted law enforcement involved and get the citizens involved. What else I learned overseas is that people fear the police and they don't trust them. So we went over back to Bosnia And, I'm jumping ahead of myself. With the crimes we chose were seven: human trafficking, terrorism, illicit trade, arms dealing, drug smuggling, cybercrime, and bank fraud, money laundering, which are all corruption-based. So I had Safeguard Schools put together a secure app for me out of the goodness of their heart, and we went back and did the beta test in Bosnia. I had a trusted assistant police commander.
Let me ask you, Jim, when you say trusted, because I know a lot of police around the world aren't exactly trustworthy. When you say trusted, how do you vet these people?
Yeah, that's a good question. This guy had been vetted by the FBI, and he'd been to the FBI National Academy.
Oh, cool.
So he was U.S. vetted, honest as a day and long. In fact, he's the guy that got on the phone with their president, Dodik. And Dodik tried to persuade him to do something he didn't want to do, and he basically hung up on his president. So, I mean, this goes to show you where this guy's head's at, and honest as the day is long.
Good.
So I had him bring some of the people he dealt with from four countries, and I picked two inside the European Union and two outside. So, but Balkan countries. And so we picked Slovenia and Croatia in the EU, and then Serbia and Bosnia outside the EU. And I did one presentation and one press release, and we had 47 tips in a week. So people want to talk.
Wow.
They're just afraid to.
Yeah.
So, but what also we learned is that Bosnia was not the place to start. And the reason I started there is because that's where I had trusted people. And the reason is because there's three different cultures, basically three different governments there. It's the Bosniaks, which are the Muslim, the Croats, which are the Catholic, and then the Serb part, which is Orthodox. And no one seems to really get along. If one thinks this is a good idea, the other two don't. And the other thing we realize is that a local program like my Crime Stoppers Puget Sound could not support an international project like this. So I picked up with a gentleman out of Oklahoma who was an insurance agent, but he was also the president of Crime Stoppers USA, which is kind of an umbrella group over the 500 programs there are in the United States. And brought on Dave Reichert, former sheriff and congressman, his chief of staff, Scott Sotobir, a Serb-American PhD woman whose family fled the war in the 90s, and her dad runs Radio Serbia out of Chicago, very instrumental. So we decided to move it to Serbia. So we've been going back and forth to Belgrade, building our support, and is ready to launch, brought their trusted people here to learn the operational side of things in February, and then COVID hit. So no one can travel anywhere. So it kind of slowed the process till we can get to travel again to officially open their program over in the Balkans.
Yeah, it'll happen. It's just a matter of time, right?
Absolutely. And then funding, and let's look at the realistic. We have a lobbyist in D.C. and my political side, Scott Sotobir, and this other woman, the Serb American, were in D.C. had their meeting set up with the State Department prior to for government funding, and then what happens is then we have the Ukrainian ordeal, then we have the election problems and COVID. So until they can go back and with their contacts they have for a government contract with the State Department is we're still in limbo on that side of it as well. So, but the concept behind this is it's a partnership between the media, the police and the citizens. And how that works is the media advertises the free download of that TCI app. We call it the TCI app, Transnational Crime Initiative app. And I'll explain a little bit how that app actually works.
Okay.
And people can download the app. We only know them by a number. And what happens is we've got those crimes listed on the app. They click whichever one, and there's boxes to put in how much information they know, suspect's name if they got it, a location, what they're doing. And then it's in the local language. They hit submit, and it comes to Crime Stoppers. And we filter those tips to the appropriate jurisdiction and to the trusted investigating detective. And the good news is that a lot of this isn't starting from a new, this is new information, they don't know about it. A lot of these detectives know about some sort of these crimes, and let's say they have 80% of the case, and this tip puts the other 20% in that can solve the case. So what that does is if that tip leads to the arrest and a charge or the rescue of hostages, then that person will receive $1,000 U.S. And in some of these countries, $1,000 U.S. pays more than a year's rent.
Yeah.
So it's a worthwhile process. And will we get bad tips? Have we? Of course. But those are filtered out, and the legitimate ones are passed on to those trusted investigators.
Okay, so the listeners know Crime Stoppers International. Locally, we call it 88 Crime, and every area has their own, you know, portion of Crime Stoppers. What was that?
Okay. I'm sorry. So what portion of Crime Stoppers is Crime Stoppers Global Solutions? It's its own entity, and what we're doing is opening up programs in developing countries.
Okay, you said that Crime Stoppers gets the phone calls, though.
It would be the local Crime Stoppers affiliate.
Okay,
and who will be taking our tips?
Okay.
in Serbia will be the International Police Association, Serbia, trusted people, been to the U.S. One of them, there'll be two people taking them, and they will forward to trusted people. But we get the information here in the States as well. But they're the ones that forward it on from their local program.
Okay,
does that make sense?
Yeah. I get it now. Sometimes I wish when I'm talking to you, because you've got this wealth of knowledge, I need a globe to follow you. a map. Where is he now? Okay. You've been everywhere. You've done a lot of teaching. What did you teach? You said that, you know, you started working for the feds and you were teaching. What were you teaching?
Well, what got me started is I was our hostage negotiations team leader for my local agency for 25 of my 33 years when we formed the team in 1982 to my retirement in 2006. So I'd been to over 300 call-outs, and most of those obviously suicidal barricades that people don't report on. We don't want to give the idea that someone can go out in a blaze of glory and just all want to do is kill themselves, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So I put a class together, and I taught that in Pakistan, formed negotiations teams there, which got me into other classes like emergency management operations and some operational courses, and then some leadership courses, mentoring subordinates, putting together a field training officer program, those kinds of courses. And I never called this is the way the Americans do it, and this is the way it's got to be done. I would word it as this is industry standard, the way first world countries do things. And a lot of these countries want that knowledge and put it in perspective into their culture and their way of doing things. So they take the best of what we could offer to industry standards and adapt it. And It was the same way when I taught the demonstration management course. I wrote that course for Indonesia and then taught a few iterations and then was able to pass it on to other trainers. That was like a train the trainer course. So there were many iterations of that 2-week course taught in Indonesia as well. So, and then of course, when I got to Bosnia, as an advisor to their minister of the interior of the Serb part of Bosnia, is until we were to put those some deliverables together, because the Serbs didn't care for us that much, and the minister of the interior was throwing me out of his office. You can't do anything for me. Until we were able to put some deliverables together for him and knew that we were headed in the right direction. So I did the hostage negotiations thing, put the teams together in their five provinces of that way they call them cantons in like our county, so to speak, and once they had some of those barricade situations and were able to use the industry standards that we were teaching them, what we put together and put their teams together, is they started realizing the benefit of that, and that it seemed to work well. So then it went from that to first responder to active shooter stuff for their frontline officers, and that worked well too. So those were the kind of things that we're putting together, and they really appreciated that in the out of the EU countries, because they want those EU standards so they can get into the EU.
Oh, okay. You kind of tiptoed your way into it then, didn't you?
and actually, while I was doing it, not really understanding what I was doing, it just worked out well.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You know what? We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a few.
This is Nathan Chabon, producer for Law Matters Live Show, airing Saturday mornings at 8, when our listeners ask questions of the people who have answers. On our next show, we speak with Craig Sawyer and Eric Bauer about the Epstein-Maxwell sex trafficking case. This is your show, Arizona, so get your questions ready to join the talk at 790-2040. You don't want to be left out. Set your alarms AM 1030 The Voice. We can't do this show without your support. Please go to lawmatters1030.org to contribute.
To report suspected human trafficking, please call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center at 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP or INFO to 233-733. To learn more about Homeland Security investigations and our efforts to combat human trafficking, please visit our website at www.ice.gov or check out the DHS Blue Campaign at www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign. For more information on the Southern Arizona Anti-Trafficking Unified Response Network, please visit us at www.saturn.org or find us on Facebook.
Getting a reverse mortgage with the new rules and expanded limits can be a positive, life-changing experience. The reverse offers multiple ways of having your equity work for you, from a monthly income, an interest-bearing equity account, or a total cash out. Give me a call and let's see which reverse option best works for your future plans. Call 520-310-9900. Ask for me, Sherry. That's 520-310-9900.
Thanks for staying with us. If you have any questions, our number is 790-2040, and our guest today is Jim Fuda, who is with Crime Stoppers Global Solutions. And Jim, I have an intern in the studio. He's one of our young producers. His name is Nathan, and he has a couple of questions for you.
Hey, Nathan, I hope I can answer.
Thank you. So my question is, what advice do you have for younger people who may be targeted by human trafficking? And also, tell us more about this app that you have. Can I just take out my phone right now and go to the App Store and download it, or how does that work?
Oh, yeah. That's what we have. The app we use in the United States is because it's different than this one, because this one we're concentrating on seven particular crimes. The P3 Tips app that you can download to your smartphone, it's free, for your particular jurisdiction, there's a laundry list of crimes there that'll go to your local Crime Stoppers program if you've got a tip to submit, that it will go to the they'll forward that to the appropriate jurisdiction for investigation. And as far as the targeting is, that there are things to look at when young people could be targeted for especially like sexual exploitation, is that, and what you should look for in let's say we've got a girl that has been isolated, is always in the company of somebody who always seems to be watching them, might have some bruises or marks on them. And what we're talking about here is a lot of it is the pimp prostitute relationship. And I have to say, when in my early days in the early 80s, I worked at our airport strip patrol district before I got promoted, and that was the era of the Green River era, the Green River killer, where this guy was prolific, killed more than 50 women, admitted to at least that many. They suspect him of many more, and we weren't taught and didn't understand the what was actually happening and how those girls were actually being trafficked, and they would talk to us. You know, I remember the first 7 girls were found in the Green River, and that's how it got the name. And I would work the district. I would actually talk to one of the prostitutes working the street, showed her the pictures of these girls, and says, "Look at." I knew her as Wanda Mercury, but her real name was Kay San Lee. I found out later, and I said, "Two of these girls could be your sister." And she goes, "Oh, Jim, we're on a first name basis. He's not going to get me." And she pulled out a little pocket knife. Poor thing was bones 19 for 3 years till DNA and identified her as one of the victims. And we just didn't understand the concept and back then. And that actually was built up through the 90s and the early 2000s, where cops were really taught and trained of what to look for, of what's going on today. You even look at like, when the Super Bowl happens, there's a lot more girls looking for, you know, single men usually go to, or men without their wives or spouses or girlfriends or a party. So the same thing with Vegas and those kinds of places is that there are things to look for. Are those girls being watched, and is there a bodyguard supposedly with them? You know, those kinds of things.
Yeah, I've talked about it before. I worked the Super Bowl when it was here in Phoenix a couple of years ago, and I talked about the fact that I never thought about girls being trafficked at a major event like that. And they said, "Oh, yeah," you know, and they gave us instructions what to do, and especially if we went into the ladies' room and we found, you know, different situations and how to handle it. But I was kind of shocked, and that was like a 5-minute training session. I can't imagine going through one of these classes.
Well, you heard about the Alaska Airlines flight attendant that saw something unusual with a girl on a flight.
Yeah.
And she got up to go to the bathroom, and the flight attendant was paid attention and says, "Do you need help?" And the girl said, "Yes, please." And they had the police waiting when the plane landed. I don't remember, but I think it was to L.A. Is where the plane landed, and they had the police waiting and was able to take that person into custody and protect the young girl.
Yeah, she was being trafficked.
Exactly. It just didn't look right.
Yeah. It's such so scary. And a lot of kids, and I, you know, high school kids, they don't realize what they're looking at. And I just think there should be more education on, hey, this is a red flag for you. You know, you need to report this or talk to somebody. Don't just let it slide by.
Well, even that, look at, I know you're going to be talking about it next week, but the Epstein case.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, those girls, they cute, young, not living the highest of standards, were well taken care of, and it's okay. Well, if I just do this one time, and before you know it, they're in traffic and over their head. And you look in some of these other countries, and let's look at, for example, what happens is a lot of it is ports of entry too. Is you look what happens, on the West Coast seems to get more of the Asian, culture and the traffic girls, where the East Coast, seems to get more of the, you know, the Ukrainian, Russian, Balkan type girls that come in, because those are just basically the ports that come in, and the South will be the Mexicans, Colombians coming in, but you look at like a Thai farmer who has the trafficker that comes to him. The guy's got three daughters and says, look, I'm going to take care of your girls. I'm going to get them educated, or I'm going to get them good jobs. And before you know it, they're in Bangkok in a brothel. Or the other side of that coin is the same farmer's got three girls. And, I'm sorry, you have to go with them because the rest of us have to eat. You know, it's just really sad some of the life quality that happens, and how some of these people get into either the sex trade or servitude trade, where they have no option, or at least they think they have no option. Or the 12 to 14 year old Filipino kid that can't get off a fishing boat for 18 months at a time. Yeah. I mean, horrible stuff you hear about.
So, talking about sex trafficking and this international thing going on, what do you think is going to happen with the Maxwell case? We know Jeff Epstein allegedly committed suicide. So what do you think is going to happen with the Maxwell case? Because we haven't heard anything about it in a long time. It's just kind of fallen off the face of the earth.
Well, I think that I'm hoping that she's talking. That helped, and the feds, who knows, probably offered her a deal to talk, and we'll see what comes out of any arrests from that. Who knew, whatever, if there's any other charges coming up. But I think that what will happen is it'll be kept quiet until all of a sudden there'll be some search warrants served and people indicted.
And I understand that there's a lot of high-profile people that were involved with this. Do you think they'll really be held accountable?
Well, we can hope so. I think some of the records, and even from what the stuff that have been leaked out, sounds pretty credible to me.
Okay.
You know, there's photographs and flight logs.
Yeah, the flight logs, that they don't lie.
Yeah.
So, okay. Let's get back to this. When you're talking about being able to report this stuff and, you know, the different apps, the app that we can use in America, and I, to tell you the truth, I tried to look for the app you were talking about on my phone, but I couldn't find it. So what is
The TCI app, right. We have that specifically set for the Balkans and just a couple of us, three in the in the Crime Stoppers Global Solution Group. Otherwise, that is actually, until we get that activated, we're keeping that basically close to the heart, so to speak.
Okay.
But the P3 Tips app is open in the United States, Canada.
And that's P as in Peter, the number, numeric 3.
Right. All right.
Tips.
Tips. P3 Tips.
Okay, and that's the one that you can use in America. Did you download it, Nathan?
I did find it on the App Store, and I am downloading it currently.
Even as we speak?
Yes.
There you go. So, another customer. Well, so I tell people, hey, it's anonymous. Turn in your neighbors.
Yeah. So, but like I said, get back to the components of why that's being downloaded. The components of the initiative, and even here the components of what happens here in the States is, like I said, is the police, the media, and the public. And if your tip in the States leads to an arrest and a charge in the States, it's up to $1,000. In my program, it's $1,000 for homicides and bank robbery, and then there's a scale of how much for the different types of crimes. But overseas, we had to add police media relation units as well, and that's just what the agencies, the police agencies there wanted to have added. And but the media is, when Americans come over to speak, we had open access to all media when we were putting this together in Belgrade. On many radio shows. In fact, if you go to our website, www.thecsgs.org, and go to the media section, you'll see all of the different media stuff we've done. And how we work this, and this was where I didn't have the knowledge, but the political side did. I said, you know, we're dealing with, and I'll just call it possibly corrupt politicians, is how are we going to get around this? And that's what helped us, is all the media stuff where some of those politicians and some of the corrupt, if they are corrupt, I'm going to word it that way, had to say, well, God, I guess we have to do it. The whole public knows about it. I have to come out and support it. But what the good news is that those tips will not go to any of those people. Because what happens if you have a corrupt politician or a corrupt cop and they get that tip? They could call the bad guy and say, look, unless you give me this amount of money, I can turn this tip in.
Yeah.
So it could be counterproductive. So that's, these tips, it's critical that it stays with trusted people. And then how they get paid, and I had to leave these to the tech guys because I had no idea how that worked, is PayPal bought HyperWallet. And we've been working with them to securely give these tipsters that are the ones responsible for the arrest and the charge. And it can't be $1,000 because that's reportable, but it can be $999. So we've kept it at $999 to give these people, and it can be done, transferred without anybody knowing who it is. And I'll be darned if I know how that's done, but the techie guys have got that worked out.
Okay, why in America it's anything over $10,000 is reportable? How come it's $1,000?
I think PayPal HyperWallet has to report that if it's more than that, and that's part of a money laundering thing. Yeah.
What about money laundering? Are you getting tips regarding that?
We did, yeah, and we get it here as well. Yeah.
So
on MP3.
So what are the red flags when you're considering something is perhaps money laundering?
Large amounts of money, or just under the amount of, like, say, of the $10,000, but multiple times and multiple different people. That's one of the the keys that leads to that.
Going to the same source,
or even different sources. That spreads it out, and it is it makes it more complicated to investigate. But where's this person getting? You know, where's the cash flow coming from?
Okay, I get that. You know what? We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few.
Getting a reverse mortgage with the new rules and expanded limits can be a positive, life-changing experience. The reverse offers multiple ways of having your equity work for you, from a monthly income, an interest-bearing equity account, or a total cash out. Give me a call and let's see which reverse option best works for your future plans. Call 520-310-9900. Ask for me, Sherry. That's 520-310-9900.
To report suspected human trafficking, please call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center at 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP or INFO to 233-733. To learn more about Homeland Security investigations and our efforts to combat human trafficking, please visit our website at www.ice.gov or check out the DHS Blue Campaign at www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign. For more information on the Southern Arizona Anti-Trafficking Unified Response Network, please visit us at www.saturn.org or find us on Facebook.
This is Nathan Chabon, producer for Law Matters Live Show, airing Saturday mornings at 8, when our listeners ask questions of the people who have answers. On our next show, we speak with Craig Sawyer and Eric Bauer about the Epstein-Maxwell sex trafficking case. This is your show, Arizona, so get your questions ready to join the talk at 790-2040. You don't want to be left out. Set your alarms AM 1030 The Voice. We can't do this show without your support. Please go to lawmatters1030.org to contribute.
Thanks for staying with us. Our guest today is Jim Fuda. We're talking about Crime Stoppers Global Solutions. And if you have any questions, the number is 790-2040. So, Jim.
I'm here.
Okay. How can we be better citizens? Tell us what we can do to help law enforcement.
Well, actually, it's more critical now than ever in in my eyes, with all the talk about defunding and less resources, is going to make this real tough, especially on the investigative side of things. And if you see something, say something. You don't even have to come forward. You can anonymously send information that you got. And I think the Crime Stoppers programs around the country are going to be even more critical with getting investigative information that they can pass on to what are even become more limited resources from the police departments to investigate a lot of crimes. So I think it will it's more necessary now than ever.
So I know different organizations or Crime Stoppers has different chapters, I'm going to call them to make it easy, and ours is 88 Crime. 88 Crime is the phone number. If we download this app and use this app, is 88 Crime going to receive these tips?
I'm not sure if it's them or the nearest actual Crime Stoppers program to your area. Is your group considered a part of Crime Stoppers?
Yes. Oh no!
Oh, well then,
no, Law Matters.
You're right. No, not you. The other, the ADA crime you mentioned.
ADA
is that Crime Stoppers?
It is a Crime Stoppers chapter. Yes.
Then it should go. It should go to them.
Okay, and they have a call center. So.
Yeah. Is it 1-800-222-TIPS?
No, it's 88 Crime. 88 Crime is the phone number.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should.
Okay, I think I remember meeting you in Hawaii at the Crime Stopper seminar or convention, whatever they were having. You were teaching
right.
classes.
I was right and spoke just of what we're talking about, right?
Exactly. Because I'm like, oh, deja vu. This sounds familiar. So tell us more about what's going on. What about the riots? Can this be used during the riots that are happening in certain parts of the country?
Absolutely, and it has. One of our tips solved the arson at the vacated East Precinct we had in the CHOP CHAZ, and we're getting more and more tips in now after the fact as they firebombed our Seattle Police Officers Guild office, the federal courthouse here, and so it's being used in that as well. So it's critical of what's happening with citizens helping, and there's actually two intelligence detectives that are part of a task force that are doing the follow up to all these riots and felony crimes that have happened as resulting from the riots, and we've been sending those tips directly to those two to disseminate to that task force.
Are they starting to charge these people with something more serious than jaywalking?
Here's what's happened, is that our local felony crimes that are being charged, our prosecutor's office is saying that, well, we're not getting the full case, we're not an investigative branch, but there is probable cause, but they're still releasing them. The some of these are federal charges now, and I actually just did a show on our local ABC affiliate, Como TV, 2 days ago about an arsonist that was arrested federally. And that's exactly what I said, is that these charges have got to start sticking, what's the incentive to not commit crime if you're just gonna not be prostituted and allowed back out on the street? So there's got to be some deterrent for these people, or it's going to continue, and until they're held accountable, it's going to continue.
Have things slowed down over there, or are they still rioting?
Well, it depends. It has slowed. But they're targeting, like, our guild president doesn't live very far from me, and our office is actually out of the guild office, and he was followed home and had 300 people in his front yard last week. So it's there was not violent, But he did not come out and talk to them, which I wouldn't either. Well, why validate them? Why give that any credibility to them at all? But after that, they did march on the Guild office, and they had 12 arrests, and that was like three nights later. So it's going on, but it's more sporadic.
What's the Guild office?
That's a union, like a guild. It's a union.
For police?
Yes.
Okay, like RFOP office.
Exactly.
Okay. Why do they call it Guild?
I don't know. My agency is a guild. Some are FOP, some are unions. Some are benevolent associations. Yeah. So
I'd never heard of it. I just like, why is it Guild? Because we have a guild mortgage in town too. It's like, why would they do that? Okay, that makes sense. So do you think go ahead.
I was just going to say, one thing getting back to the app and the international side of this is that arms dealing and the terrorism side of things is huge business since the Balkan War. Russian-made Kalashnikovs, and then even some of our M16s. Some of these guns left Belgrade, Serbia, four or five flights in the last two or three years that were supposed to be going to Saudi Arabia to help fight for us. Instead, the planes diverted to Syria to the rebels to fight against us. And then in small caches, those guns are going back through the Balkan route, being resold and into Western Europe. And remember the Charlie Hebdo incident in Paris, where they killed those people for the cartoons?
Yes.
Those guns came back through from that same load. And that concert where like 80 people were killed,
in Vegas.
Same thing. Those guns are coming back through. So it's from the terrorist side of things, this could be extremely important could be a huge deal for some tips that would come in just prior to those planes those planes taking off.
Was the plane hijacked? Or was the pilot just decided to make an extra stop?
It was set up that way. But the flight logs say it went to Saudi, and instead it went to Syria. So,
ooh, wow.
Yeah. So they're saying like a Serbia Interior Ministry estimates 200,000, 900,000 small arms in Serbia alone, 750,000 small arms and roughly 450,000 weapons in Kosovo. So it's just huge, huge business. And then let's not to mention, I'll talk to you heard in the video me talking about the two Syrian Christian girls that were sold at age 14, smuggled through into Western Europe, brought back that morning. I made that video, narrated that video 1 month after I got back from Serbia when I heard about that story. But that morning, we met with a group, an anti human trafficking group, and they knew those two girls at age 16 were in Bosnia three, four days prior. Okay. They knew that they were, got information, they were coming into Serbia, and they were going to wait rather than cross the border and get these girls. They waited to rescue them till they got into Bosnia a few days later. They rescued those girls, and then the woman started to cry when she was telling the story. And I said, "What? That's a good thing, right?" And she says, "There was a third girl that was with them, and that girl was taken to Kosovo, where her organs were harvested, and they killed her on a table." And those organs sold to the highest bidder on the black market. Mm-hmm. And you can see how critical some of these tips that we could get to stop some of this stuff and going after the actual traffickers and hit these people at the source or the transit routes before it hits the Western world and our shores here in the United States. And that's was my thought process behind it. Are these other crimes meaningful and we should do something? Absolutely. But what is the key here? Human life. In my eyes, that's the critical one.
I want to ask you about these guns that you're talking about. On the news, they showed us, I think it was a 17-year-old boy walking down the street with an assault rifle hanging from his neck. And yeah. That seems to be okay with everyone. He didn't look like he was even 17. I don't know. What is a 17-year-old doing going to a riot with an assault rifle? Isn't he looking for trouble?
I would totally, totally agree with that. Here was my thoughts the first thing I heard that. Is he lived in a town apparently 30, 40 miles away. His mother brought him there.
His mother brought him there?
That's what I was told. That's what I understand.
Wow.
And he was there apparently early cleaning off graffiti or something. And apparently it's legal. It was his right. A lot of people are not going to agree with me. What purpose would a kid go? That's just asking for trouble. That's not going to end well.
No. So and apparently I mean, it didn't.
Yeah, exactly. So I totally agree with you. I mean, there's is it a right? Maybe. Is there common sense? And the right thing to do? Absolutely.
Wouldn't the mother be, I mean, you're endangering your son. Oh, I'm going to take him to this virtually a war zone, this riot area, so that he can erase graffiti?
It makes no sense to me either.
That's just stupid.
Yeah.
Was
it
he,
makes,
you know,
it
was,
just makes,
were,
makes it worse.
Exactly. I mean, couldn't she be held liable for, like, you know, endangering her child?
Yeah,
was she there with him, or, you know, just...
I don't know all the particulars.
There's so many questions with that story.
Sure, and you know, we're not going to hear the whole part of that, but I did hear from a media source that the mother drove him there. I don't know what the time frame was of all that, or if the mother drove him there, if he'd been there more than once. I don't know that, but I heard the parents obviously knew he had a AR-15 for God's sake. So
yeah, that puts a whole new meaning behind you're going to shoot your eye out, kid.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, wow. Okay. So when do you think, I mean, things are trying to kind of settling down with COVID and other parts of the world. When do you think you'll be able to launch your program? Or continue with your program, because I know it's going to require a lot of travel.
As soon as we can travel, we'll make one operational trip back to make sure everything's in place, test everything, because you only got one shot. If you introduce something new,
and then put it on the back shelf for a while.
If you introduce something new and then there's glitches and you know, the media puts it out there for you, you only have one shot to lose your credibility. So we'll go test and then we'll go back test that and then go back and then do the official opening with the press release with their prime minister that we met with, and we'll do the big official opening and put together some press releases and some PSAs to put out on their media.
So this isn't something that, you know, once it's out there, the bad guys can get a hold of it and hack into it and find out who's talking, is it?
That part of it is secure, but it's the part where how the process goes from the tips going in to the to the people that are the two or three people that are taking it, to getting it hands-on. And this tip, the cool thing about it is the detective can actually talk to the tipster back and forth, not knowing who he is. All that person is assigned, all they know that person is by a numerical identifier, and that is it. So they can comfortably talk back and forth if the investigator thinks
they need more info.
A question or more info if the person has it, you know, that kind of thing. So we have to make sure that part will work well and that they're trained well enough to operate it.
And I think people need to understand with 88 Crime, it's the same thing. When you go into the computer system and set up your account, you're not using your name. They assign you a number. And if your
exactly.
tip is used and an arrest is made, they will assign a reward amount to that number. You take that number and go to the bank, hand the teller the number, and they hand you the money. No names
yes.
are used. No names.
Exactly. No one knows who you are.
Exactly. And
yeah.
if you want to send grandma in instead of going in yourself.
yeah, you could do that too.
You can do
yeah.
that too. So, yeah, it sounds like you're very busy and you're working miracles on the international stage, actually. This is pretty incredible. Well, I'm really happy to have you talk to us about it.
Yeah, and there's program in other countries, but this concept of the transnational and crossing borders with that type of crime is what is new and what will I know it will make a difference. The beta test proved it, that if you had 47 tips in 1 week with just one press release, it's going to take off, and we have to be prepared for. And have the infrastructure in place for that.
You're going to need more than three people taking calls.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like
But it won't be calls. This is strictly they won't use the telephone. We'll strictly use the technology inside of it, and that's it.
Wow. Okay. So yeah. like texting.
It'll all be on the phone. On the phone, right? That's it.
Okay. That's awesome. That protects everybody. I think that'll make a lot of people feel more comfortable divulging some things that they have knowledge about. And we need that knowledge in order to solve crimes.
Yeah. Well, I asked them when I first met with them, with their police commander of the country. He said, we have a tip line. I says, great. How many tips do you get? I said, telephone. How many tips do you get? None. Because people don't trust, they're not calling that line. They know it's not secure there, and they know they're not anonymous.
They're jeopardizing their life.
Exactly. So that's why this is the way to go, and that's why we're strictly doing the app way.
And this could be used if, you know, I'm looking at this list here, illicit trade. You're talking about fake Nikes or you know, Prada, fake Prada. This type of stuff, if somebody has information about all this fake merchandise being created and being sold in a different country like America,
sure,
they
sure.
could
and
report
it's not
that.
So much, yeah, and it's not so much the because it's look at the people in the sweatshops making them.
Yes,
or look what happens. Do I care if someone's got a pack of bad cigarettes? No, but those taxes every year for a developing country like Bosnia loses hundreds of millions of their KM, they call it, their money a year that could help better the country. So it's not for the because of Philip Morris is losing money. That to be honest with you, I care less about that. It's about the country and the people in the sweatshops making it. So
yeah, if they have information about that, that'd be a wonderful thing to be turning in. So,
sure.
Jim, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and explaining this to us. I just learned a whole bunch of new information, and I think everybody out there needs to be aware of these apps. Use them. Like I said, turn in your neighbors. Christmas is coming. You need cash. And you have a good time on your trip.